So the topic today is the sukkah of confiscating the Tamidian's items. So it's not a halakha l'maaseh shir, that's not the point. Just to go through very, very quickly some of the arguments, why it should be mutter, what are the sudden why it should be mutter, etc. So the argument which we're going to focus on is that that scenario, the Rebbe is taking it with intention to return the item at the end, so could be there's no issue of gzela. There was the issue, the argument that it's also is because it's a form of gzela. I'm taking somebody's item. Many times against the will of the child. The child does not want to give it, or he's giving it very sullenly, etc. He's not really excited about giving it, which indicates he's not really agreeing to this. But it's just a form of gzela. I'm taking something against somebody's will, which the definition of gzela is what yigzela is a chanis miyad a mitzri. I'm taking something forcefully from somebody. That's the question why it should be problematic. And the answer we're saying is that maybe since I'm taking it with intent to return it, maybe that should take off the status of gzela and it's going to be permitted. That's one argument. Second argument, which flows from the first one, is that I can argue that I'm doing this for the benefit of the child or for the benefit of the class. It's a distraction for the child, taking away his distraction. So I'm doing it actually more than just to return it, but I'm actually doing it because it's beneficial for the person. I'm trying to stop him from doing something wrong. He's disturbing the class, he's disturbing himself, he's doing bittul Torah. I'm saving him. I'm not damaging him, I'm actually saving him. I did not put him to the packet for the most part. I did not go that air, but that is an argument. That's a sugya the more talks about. Actually, maybe I would have to do that. If I see somebody doing something wrong, even to the extent of causing damage, financial damage, the more talks about, more brachas. I see a person wearing klayim in the shuk, you can rip it off of the person. And that the Rambam passes in Hilchos Klayim, the Rambam passes, if I see a person wearing klayim deraisa, I have a mitzvah to rip it off of him, which means even I'm going to actually damage the clothing, right? I'm allowed to do that. And I'm a chuyiv to do that. So over here, I could argue in the assuming my assessment of the situation is correct, that this child is doing something damaging to his neshama, he's disturbing the class, he's disturbing himself, etc. He's using something which is improper to have, whatever the situation might be, and I'm actually saving him. And how far do you go with that? In that packet, which I didn't give out, so there's some interesting tshuvas. Rabbi Yisrael Chaim Zonnefeld in Salmos Chaim has a few tshuvas. We talked about the case where you had a kanoi, you know, he dealt with the kanoi over there in Yerushalayim, and also they went to the newspaper stand and they burnt all the newspapers, so they had to pay for the newspapers that they destroyed. A woman came into the men's section and they damaged her, right, etc. He deals with some of those questions and usually says he will cleave to pay. That most of the cases he says it's a great thing you did, but you got to pay. Okay, so one of the parameters of doing that to the point that you don't cleave to pay. How far do you take this concept? The poskim deal with the common. I've gotten actually halacha lemaisa the shaila in various different forms. Hashavas aveda on cigarettes, right? Hashavas aveda on an iPhone. Hashavas aveda. I shouldn't talk, but anyway. But right, etc. The poskim talk about various different scenarios about is there a din of hashavas aveda on a razor? The guy owns a razor. So he's using it. He's going to use it for giluach to be over in the raisa. I have a chiyuv to stop him. If they really sit to mishnah, am I allowed to give it to him? Maybe my chiyuv of teichacha is machayev me to take it away from him. So that's the second argument. Maybe that's going to be permitted, and that one of the parameters of that concept. The third one is we have.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Isn't that chatei mishmashias kechaverecha?
Well, we're grappling. The chiyuv of techacha, the chiyuv of lithavilashitamikshal, the chiyuv of arvis, all these different chiyuvim, apparently the Rambam is saying, allows me to rip the beged off of the person's body. Which means that that's what the Gemara is saying, that the chiyuv of preventing a person from doing an aveira is not called damaging, it's called hatzola. So but on the other hand, I have a chiyuv moment over here. So how far are we willing to take this halacha lemaisa? Rosh Hashanah had a shaila. He was asked by a person about tshuva, and he goes visits his parents at home, and the family has a television. So he regularly damages, he sabotages the television. And it costs money to fix it every time. So it doesn't work for a few days. He saved his family from watching the television. Was that something he's allowed to do? And that was the shaila lemaisa. He says you should not do that. because maybe that's right now it's going to be more damaging than beneficial, the type of coercion, religious coercion on somebody. You should never do this without having a chacham imadrich you what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. And there are parameters in this concept, but conceptually, he wasn't saying there isn't a scenario where that would be permitted. The third argument is a Gemara Makkah. The Gemara Makkah says that Rebbe is allowed to be Makkah the Talmud. He's allowed to hit the Talmud. So we make a kavu karmer. If I'm allowed to hit him, physical corporal punishment is permitted. See, even though nowadays we are discouraged very significantly from using corporal punishment, that doesn't mean that conceptually it's not true anymore. So if conceptually corporal punishment is permitted, so financial punishment should be the same. This lashon of the Rishonim, we actually use that lashon. If I'm allowed to be sherlut over his body, kavu karmer, sherlut over his moment, it's not so pashut. That concept, there's a Gemara in Perek HaKrinis, in Bava Kamma, the Gemara talks about this idea of that maybe Pikuach Nefesh, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, that Gemara which has been referenced over the Dabar Melech wants to know that he's allowed to take these items to feed his troops. The question was Pikuach Nefesh. So what was the Shaila? So Tosfos learns the Shaila of the Gemara was. Gemara said the Dabar Melech had the Shaila, whether he's allowed to do this or not. Tosfos learns that, of course, Pikuach Nefesh is doing everything. The question was, is he allowed to take it without paying? Does Pikuach Nefesh allow me to take it without paying? Or am I mechuyev to pay? That's the Shaila of the Gemara, according to Tosfos learns. Rashi learns the Shaila of the Gemara is kipshuta, the way most people learn Rashi. That Rashi, the more the Shaila of the Gemara was simply, maybe Gezel is so chomer that you're not allowed to take it, even though you're going to die. Pikuach Nefesh is doing everything in the Torah, but the Gimel Chamuras and Gezel. That's why it's Kasha and Rashi. So we now have a fourth thing. Rabbi Rashi learns the Gemara, Kipshutai, Pashas being Maka somebody would be permitted. That we never have such discussion. But Gzela specifically, it seems to be more problematic than actually even being Maka. So that Kabbal Chaymer is not necessarily 100% true.
If I would
save my life by hurting somebody, I would hit somebody. I need to get out of the river to save my life. I'm going to cause somebody a wound. Am I allowed to do it?
Obviously, yes. Why would I think
not? Okay, good. If I'm going to damage his car, cause him a financial loss. Rashi says that's a suffer. Go to Gemara. More specific, maybe not. So it means money is more chumra than the goof. Okay. That's why I'm saying that kavu charmer, which
Gemara has a suffix whether you're allowed to.
The way Rashi learns the Gemara, the Gemara in Baba Kamma and Hakadosh, where Rashi learns the more is masubah, then maybe the Kohen Nefesh is not the Hakzeil, which Tosha says it's a plea, but that's how Rashi learns the Gemara.
Isn't Yerushalmi that
neighbors
also
Yehar Gaiava? So they are the Rishonim, the Shita quotes that Yerushalmi vis-a-vis that idea. Right. Okay, so, but you would see if so, that Dini Mammon is more, the Kabbalah Chomer is not necessarily true. Number four, the fourth argument, yeah.
In terms of Talmud, is there a concept of you're coming and understanding whether it's written or not?
I'm going to get to that. Oh. Yeah, okay. The fourth argument is along similar lines to the first one, but specifically there's a Mishnah in Midas, Mishnah Midas, that the Harabais, that there was a person called Ish Harabais, and he would go around all of the posts where the Sherman would watch the Beis HaMikdash during the night to see if they were awake. And if he would say Shalom Alecha to them and they would respond to him. So they would get up in his honor. That's the first thing. Morris says, well, if they didn't, he would say Shalom Alecha. Because sometimes the person is thinking about something and then they suddenly notice that I'm there. But if they didn't respond at all, we assume that he was asleep and that he had rishus to hit him with a mako and to be sarif the ksus and to burn his clothing. So the Tiferes Yisrael on that Mishnah says why it's referring to because the clothing was what kept nice and warm, and that's why he fell asleep. So it means taking something along which is the source of the problem is going to be mutter. And the rush says the reason why it's mutter is because hefker bezin hefker. So, okay, can we extrapolate from that to that specifically the Beis HaMikdash, hefker bezin hefker of the bezin agadol? Can my school make such a heter, hefker bezin hefker? Because this is what's distracting him. Over here specifically, I am using this concept to be matter to damage that which specifically is the source of the problem. But the rest of the learns, it wasn't stomach, head to head, because after, hey, you're sleeping, let's, burn your iPhone, well, right? It was, and you're sleeping, let's burn that thing which is keeping you, making you warm and fall, making you fall asleep. And the fifth one is the question which, you know, people brought up, that there's idea of you asserted that Almanas came. You sort of came to the school. There's a, many schools have policies about what you're allowed to do in regards to confiscation, etc. And there's a handbook, etc. The parents sent off on the handbook. The teenage students sent off on the handbook. You know, they don't send off on the handbook, but that's the arrangement. I have a big sign that's on my house. You can only enter my house if you wear a pink hat, right? I'm sure you know, but the my side, it's my house, right? And if you enter my house without a pink hat, I'm going to take away your shoes. I mean, that's what it says on the sign, right? You know, you walk in, it's like, I wasn't masked. I'm out of tough luck. That's what the sign says. Right? And so, is that an argument? How far do you take that argument? So, there's a Gemara, and I'll tell you, the challenge of the argument is like this. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra and Daf Testament Aleph. The Gemara says a story that there was two tabachim, there was two butchers, which made an arrangement with each other that they're going to sell on alternate days. So one sells on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. One sells on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And that's the arrangement. And if they don't, they have to pay a kanas. If one of them will do something on the other one's day, so he has to pay a kanas. So the Morris says, one time one of the butchers sold the other person's day, so butcher B sold on butcher A's day, so butcher A went and destroyed the hides. After you have the animal, you sell the meat, you have the hides, they're valuable. He went and ripped up the hides and they became useless. So Morris said that the Rabbi made him pay. So Morris says, what do you mean Rabbi made him? There's a din of Hasia. Bryson says there's a din of Hasia kitzosim. They can enforce their fines. So the way it's worked on halacha means that you have a trade union, you have a guild. They would make certain deal arrangements that was expected of the members of the guild, and that they had to pay fines. And then Morris says that has validity to it. So Morris says, yeah, but when there's an autumn kosher in the town, they can't do it without the rishus of the autumn kosher. And since Rava was there in the city, and they had done it without getting the stamp of approval of Rava, so therefore it wasn't valid. But you're right, conceptually such a concept is valid. We can make up some arrangement that this is the deal. So what's the chiddush over there? The chiddush over there is, so this over here was two people that clearly made the arrangement with each other. We have a union. Not everybody necessarily agreed to all the details of the union. And that they take it a step further. They're very mechidish in the sugya over there. Normally, hiskayv as a woman requires a kinyan suitor, right? It requires some type of a maisa to be mechayv. I just said, I'm kidding, to pay a fine if something happens. It's deeper bound, it's not mechayv. Why is it mechayv to do that? Take it a step further, that there's a concept called asmachta. Asmachta means when I make a commitment to something, believing that it's never going to happen, it's not really a commitment, and I'm not really mechayv to pay it. That's the whole subject of gambling, is that where I'm committing, if I lose, I'll pay. I don't think I'm going to lose. I plan. There's a rush, actually, in the halachas of gambling. That sugya, he says, actually, that if you put the money out, so then clearly you're agreeing to it, it's not a problem. He says, but it depends if it's a game of chance or a game of skill. If it's all a game of chance, then it's a good kinyan. Because I know I have no control over it. So if I put the money out, it means I'm agreeing to it. But if a game of skill, I believe I'm skilled, I don't think I'm going to lose. See, when I put the money out, I end up losing, I don't have to pay. And if you take it, you're a gazan, he says. The other person takes, he's a gazan. So it's basically, the best way to gamble is if you have no, you're not good at it. Then halakhly, it's mutter. There's a game, you know, if you, X amount of years back, there was an issue with March Madness in the school. And the Rana asked me to speak about the halakhas about it. So I said, listen, if you're talking, you know nothing about basketball, you have no knowledge about the players, and you commit yourself to not the money, that's mutter. Because you know you're a fool. You know you're a fool, but it's mutter. But if you think you're smart, then it's hakaaser. So I said, Mamanoshach, I don't see why you want to do that. Either you're a fool or you're aser. So like, so they got the idea. I mean, I hope.
You might on that. How many of them are playing these games of skill?
Can they? That's what we're saying. It's not true. You're not really being mutter.
No, if they're doing a rebbe to be mutter and tell them it's aser.
Be mutter. Oh.
Mutter. Being that it's common in high schools,
I think you should educate your Talmidim. Okay,
it all depends on effectiveness. this.
Right. You know, they should understand that halachically, that this is not a simple, what they're doing is not really halachically sound.
Even though they're playing in advance, because it's a game of skill, it's not.
What?
Since it's a game of skill and they all hold that they're going to win.
Right. They really believe they're going to win, right?
Not an eight.
Right. Okay, so let's go back to the first. So that concept is used in many areas. This is a devil hasyaki sasam. The mikveh has a sign. Anything left over here after 30 days will be removed and sold at the discretion of the mikveh. You know, anything left in the building after at the end of the school year. Now, so some people, that's not an asamachta, right? They know that they're very forgetful. They know that's how they work, and they know that they're going to leave something there in their mosque up front. I'm a very organized guy, and I don't plan to leave anything there. So this year I left something there, and now what? So for me, it's an asmachta. I didn't really mean it. So the chiddush of hasiyak, he saw some that it still works. And there's a sefer in Ayim Mishpat, Rebbe Arieli. So he has, you know, there's Ayin L'Mishpat that he wrote a sefer, Ayin L'Mishpat, to be like add on more than the Ayin L'Mishpat. That's like the Bekitzer one. Then in a certain sentence he wrote Ayin L'Mishpat. So on that sugya, I actually was, you know, looking at him. He has 4 pages on that line of Gemara. He has 4 pages of discussion in Rishonim about what exactly the parameters of when L'Sikhi Sosim works or not. Because what happened to the Halakha of Kinyan? What happened to the Halakha of Asmachta? When do you take a need the haskam of the bezin kosher, etc.? It's a complicated sugya, but a lochel ma'isa, that is, we discussed this once when we learned the sugya dina machusa dina. So the Rashba seems to argue that this concept of hisyaki tosam means that when you're discussing, you have a group and it's for the benefit of the group, even though you're not necessarily agreeing to every single details. That's part of the deal, of being part of a group. That's part of the way it works. That would be an argument to understand in democracies that, you know, this whole discussion in Eretz Yisrael is in a machus adina. Pasha, according to Rashba, it's not an issue because it goes into the din of Hasiyat Kitzasa. The Maaseh, you're living here, and there is people which are, you've agreed, whether you like it or not, most of the situation, you're living here, and you've agreed that there's going to be people making certain decisions for what's beneficial, and you're committing to live like that. Even without din of machus adina. Din of machus adina means the melech comes along and says, you know what, I couldn't care less what's good for you. I'm going to impose upon you, as the melech, what I want. Din of machus adina. That's one sugya. But the idea of a democracy, which we elect officials who get together and make rules which are beneficial for us, so we might be fools to elect these individuals as our elected officials, but now that's true, that's the system, we're agreeing to the system. So that is the sugya kitzosim, that there is such a concept. So that would be a good argument. So that works for things which are very clear. You know, let's say you have in the handbook, so that, you know, there's certain things are contraband, certain things are, you know, you can't bring to school, etc., whatever your school's policy is, but that's the deal. There's a certain amount of discretionary area, which the Rebbe is sort of now becoming discretionary. You know, I decided that today, this game that you're playing with, which the school did not necessarily say is prohibited, I decided today it's getting out of hand, and I want to take it away. So let's change the scenario. So your child's aunt Bella decides to give him a present, and she's mocked at him, and it's just for you. None of your sons can have anything to do with it. It's not your parents; it's yours. That's called amanashe l'aviv rishus boy. Right now, my kid starts playing with it in a way which I'm upset about. What's my right? Do I have? Can I take it away? Can I destroy it? What can I do? I'm as a parent, forget about a rebbe. What's my rights? Do you have a little hasiyak kitzosim on my house visiting my kids? You know, you say such a concept. Well, if I could hit my kids, come over, I could take away their money. Well, that's an argument. What's my power? What's my right to damage something? Now, what about, forget about Aunt Bella, what about if I give my kids something? So if I give my kids something, so could it be the same thing? Now, I'm not sure. I see some place can assume automatically when I give my kids something, it goes in the dinner by being mocked at him and it belongs to him, and now it's his or hers. I'm not sure that most parents really do that. Most parents expect that when the kid finishes using it, they're going to pass it on to the next sibling, which means they weren't really mocked it to the child. They were allowing him to use it while it still belongs to the parent. If I actually give the child something which I'm planning, that yes, it's going to be theirs and forget it, for then passions is a haknobi, then the parent says, it actually belongs to the child. Now, if I want to, al tilchus chinuch, bona fide chinuch. I'm not, you know, not the game. I'm saying, you know, as a parent, what are my powers to do that? Is an interesting question. Okay, and over there, the question is the sale gives almanas to Hoshi because I'm not going to give back to him if I take it away, whatever. But it's I'm taking it l'toibus hanizik, and that's part of my. So there's a sugya called apitropis, which is the power which passes works within apitropis works within hefker bez and hefker. Would you apply the din of apitropis to the parent al hefker bez and hefker? There's such a concept that we need to take care of the needs of the young children. They're not knowledgeable enough to make decisions properly, and we have an achrayus to take care of. That's really the achrayus of Klal Yisrael to do that, which belongs to the parents. If not, the Bezin would appoint somebody else. Of course, they don't need to have Bezin appoint somebody because the parent is here. Or it's the other way around. That Bezin is intrinsic in the power of the parent, and Bezin is sort of borrowing it from the parent. So what is that power to a parent? So that's a lot of interesting things to talk about. So that's not, you know, not going to discuss all of them right now. We go back over here to the sugya of Gezal Manas Lahashiv. So you have the Gemara over here. The Gemara says Gezal Manas Lamekat. The Gemara says, what's this din of... I can learn out from Ribbis and Anoah. So the Mora says, you're right. So the Mora says that you can learn Ribbis from Anoah. So the Mora says, what do you need to pass for Kavish Chasachir? Why do you need the Isser of false weights? Why do you need to pass for Loisig Noivu? The Mora goes through all of them. Now that we have a Matzad from Ribbis and Anoah, the Mora says, you're right. We don't need these spoken for themselves. And there being Mechad is some element of Kiddush. So the Mora says, what's the Kiddush of Loisig Noivu? More darshins almanas lamekat loisig noivu almanas tashalom tashlumi kefu. So whether you're doing an almanas lamekat, which is to irritate him, Rashi says letzair, or to pay kefu because this person doesn't want to accept a handout, you know, he needs the money, so you came up with this elaborate plan to steal it in geneva, which means it's hidden, but make sure that Adam see you, because if you're murdered, you don't pay kefu. Right, so you're stealing a neva hidden in a way that the Adam will be able to see you and go to Bezin and then pay kefil, and that would be mahanahim. So Mora said that's also great. So Pasha the Mora is saying very clearly, even though I'm taking it for the benefit of the individual, I'm taking it with a planning to return it, but that itself is also yesh lachkor. In the Isser of Gzela, and then maybe the Isser of Geneva, what exactly is the Isser? What is the problem of the Isser? Fascinating, there's a Ben Yonah in the beginning of Ovis. The Ben Yonah says that the stipler, the beginning of Baba Kama, brings this big discussion. What is the makor for the Isser being mazik somebody? How do you know it's also being mazik somebody? The Mora clearly says there's an Isser being mazik and there's a Chiyam Mamon if you're mazik. The Mora says that the Isser and the Chiyam Mamon are not totally zebezeh, even in case you're not Chiyam to pay, whatever reason, you still have an Isser. So what is this Isser to be mazik somebody? Why is that also? So Sarfer says, you learn out from a Shabbos Aveda. If I'm a Chiyam to return Aveda, so you come a Chiyam, I shouldn't take away something from you, so I can't be mazik. It's the equivalent of being ma'abed something. Ben Yonah says, you learn from a Sigzel. So it's mavur in the Rebbe Yonah that the Rebbe Yonah understands that the eager point of the law is not so much that I got it, that I'm using it, is that you don't have it anymore. Because vis-a-vis you, it's not a big difference whether I have it or I don't have it. The bottom line is you don't have it and you can't use it. So the issue of the issue of Lo Sigzel is the loss that you have had because of the fact that I took it, independent of what I'm getting out of it. So the Gemara passage reads very nicely according to that. The Gemara is saying, I'm arguing that the Chara, I'm not taking it for myself. I'm not trying to become the owner. So it's not Zela, Geneva, it's not me taking your item. I'm just making you not have it for a period of time. But the Gemara says, that's great. That's the Kiddush of the Pasuk. Look at Noah and Ribbis, where the mice is not the problem. The problem is there's a loss of money, right? So over here, can we argue that this is a different, that since I'm going to give me back at the end, it's not really loss of money? The Mora says that the Maisa is not problematic. The Mora says the Maisa is problematic because the problem is not because I gained it. The Mora says the problem is not because I gained it. The Mora says the problem is because you didn't have it for a period of time. That's also called loisig noivu. So that's the Kiddush of the Gemara. So Lois Ignorber is problematic. So even if I take it with, I'm going to give back the iPhone at the end of the day, I'm going to give back the toy at the end of the day, give it back whatever, you know, the food that he took, he was eating in the middle of class, so, you know, you can't be chomping on Tostitos or the, you know, middle of class. It's very, very distracting, very loud. So I'm taking them away. I'll give it back to you at the end of the day. So it's because someone asked the Hoshi, but Pasha Lemur is saying that that's awesome. Okay, so that being said, the conversation becomes very interesting because the Shita, that the case of the world was that you're taking it, not planning to keep it. Your whole goal is just to be Mitzrayim. So that's Pshat and Gemara. That's where you're saying that we're being married, that that's Usur. So Shita says, no, that Ma'is Mechayim, that they do that, you know, I mean, whether it's because of pranks, which possibly because of the Nostra, or also, you know, when you weren't looking, I took away your Gemara. The kid, oh, it's like, Gemara, I kept my Gemara, you know. Oh, here's your Gemara. You know, that was Loisignovu and Nostra Warren in all world of 1 and 3 seconds flat, right? Right? But Maisim Chayoyim, Shida says, Maisim Chayoyim, I'm not sure exactly what the Maisim are Chayoyim. I mean, if we do this, there's a, the Shiltas learns the case a little bit differently. Somewhere that's a lashon, that's what the Shulchan Aruch meant, etc. Shiltas learned like this. I have a neighbor and he leaves his items out in the yard all the time. And I'm really worried that one day they're all going to be stolen. And I keep telling him, you know there's Geneva that's happening over here. People steal things, you know, you can't take a chance. It's like never going to happen. And I know one day it's going to happen. The guy's going to take a tremendous loss. So I have a great idea. One night, I'm going to go in the middle of the night, take away his stuff, and put it in my garage. Lock it up, you know, my shed. He'll come out the next morning and have a heart attack, right? You know, everything is lost. My neighbor was right. I have to be more careful. And when I get these things back, I'm going to keep them in the shed from now on, locked up. So I taught him a lesson. And then, a few nights, days later, I returned the thing, and now he has learned his lesson, and everything is wonderful, right? That's my goal. I'm doing the tavos, so I plan to return it, etc. That's what the Gemara is saying. I'm going to make it, and that's awesome. That's how the Shiltas learns the Gemara. So that's Ma'isim B'Choyim. When we do this counseling, we do these type of things. We, you know, teach somebody a lesson, you know, etc. So he says the case of his goal was La'akim Gnei B'Yodoy. The case is, I'm not giving it back, but I'm not trying to use it. And it's not a manas l'hoshev, the Shita says, but my goal is not to take it to use. So the Mora says, oh, so maybe Gnei is only because you are taking it to use it. No. The Gzeva is even also because my whole goal is you shouldn't have it. So that's the Shaka Tayyar Gemara. But in planning to return it to the Shita, that's not Gzeva. Now,
the Shultz was saying that would be offer. I mean, the Shultz was saying that. The Shultz saying that's the Chan Gemara, that even if you're going to teach him a lesson, the Shultz saying that's good with the Gemara's answer.
The Shultz is saying that's good with the Gemara's answer, correct. Right.
No, the Shita is saying that.
In his Pshat, they're saying, no, that case would be Mutter. Right? Or it wouldn't be good, like, you know, okay. The Rambam Pasha says not like that. The Rambam says there is quite a good lamanas lahatsir. The Rambam said that goes into the Yisr. But the Rambam has this phrase over here, Kolosser shalo yargal atzma bakat. So the Lechem Mishra, actually in the praise before, grapples a little bit what's the Kolosser shalo yargal atzma bakat. Right? In other words, even if you want to say that conceptually, Beron Mechaberi issues we were talking about before, that their goal is to train the person to do to meet his taivas. The issue of Geneva is not to train you not to do Geneva. The issue of Geneva is to train you to be respectful to somebody else. That the person, his property, etc. The Gaon says that the part of the being of a person is his money. A person gets attached to his money. He expresses himself through his nechassim. Part of the being of the person is expressed through his nechassim. The Gaon in appears on Esther. So that's part of his being. So you've in some way you've actually physically affected him. So trained you to be respectful to somebody else, etc. But I can't say I'm training you in order to train you. Right? It's chinuch for chinuch. That's interesting lashon. Don't steal because this way you'll become wrong in stealing. I say don't steal because this way you'll be a better person. Don't steal because this way you'll be more respectful. Don't steal because this way you'll appreciate Hashem's matanas in the world and what it means to have property. I can say many, many reasons why you shouldn't steal. But I can't say don't steal because otherwise you're going to steal. Right? So what this interesting lashon where the Rambam says it seems to be betzim theoretically the fact that you're going to return it really should make it mutter. But the Maya said you are being tired in Tam Geneva, you're getting used to the idea of taking, and that's wrong. And that's what the Rambam seems to read. Now that could be the Raisa, the argument, it could be the Rabbanan Pashas. It's a funny thing the Rambam has to feel a need to something masber. Why? Okay. That being said, the Lavush seems a little pretty clearly. He quotes the Rambam's idea, which is the language of the Shulchan Aruch. He's very calm, and he still says it's a drush in the Pasuk. He feels it's an Ikar drush. How do we know he means an Ikar drush? Because the Lavush grapples with how can you make two drushes in the same Pasuk? Now, this is not a derisa as a drush. There's no such kasha. We can make as many matzahs as you want from the Pasuk. But if it's a bona fide drasha deraisa, so I got to go kasha. So how can you remember two things from the same pasuk? Oh, there's a klal and shas. Shkulim hami v'yoshneim. Sometimes we have two different things you want to remember from a pasuk. They both are both very similar. They both have the same weight. Shkulim hami. They're both. So then, you know, you can remember two things from the same pasuk when both of them seem to be similar enough. So I can remember about amanas the maker and amanas the shashum and teshum akevu. But you see from the fact that he's grappling with that question, he learns it's a drasha deraisa. So the diak and the loss of the Rambam is significant. I pointed out the ksois grapples with is there a chi of oinsin on a person who's being amanas the maker. Maybe the chi of oinsin of a ganef is dependent on the fact that he's being kainit. Being kainit is when you take it to yourself. The act of kinyan is the act of acquisition. I'm not acquiring it. I have no intent to be kainit. I'm going to get back to you. So yes, it's also to do. So mitzad dinei iser, it's also, but mitzad dinei chiyuvei momen, I'm not chayav anointsim because I didn't take it. I didn't get a kinyan. And then the ksoyis basically comes out. He feels that that is true. And he quotes a shita in the end of Hamafkid that the girls amanas shalim enoch chayav anointsim. So he shouts with the same thing over here. So that's very relevant. When we discuss over here, even tell me that's us, or if something happened to the item, I plan to return it, and you know it got stolen. So if it got stolen because I was negligent, I'm chayav to pay. If it got stolen with the regular scenarios of Gnevah Gzeila, so am I shomer sof or shomer chidim? That's a good question, right? Am I paid to watch your items? Is that part of what the Rebbe's paid for? I saw one of the modern, Poiskim says that the Rebbe's not paid for that, he's paid to teach. I'm not convinced that that's correct, and I'll tell you why, because the more it grapples with why you're allowed to get paid to teach. The more it says you're allowed to get paid to teach because it's Karshimer, because you're the reason you get paid to teach is because you're supposed to take care of the kids. So I think that these type of things go into under the dinner Karshimer. So you're actually getting paid simply for the, not for the teaching, you're paid for, you know, for the fact that you're dealing with these very immature young men or women. So that's part of how you take care of them. The Ein Gantiv, it's interesting, the Ein Gantiv builds an argument, I didn't go through the actual argument, but he comes out that he feels that a person who's been Gezel Amanas to Lahashiv doesn't have the Gzela. It's only considered Gzela if you take it with the intent to get something out of it. And since this is all the Hanus, if I take it for the purpose of using it for a mitzvah, it would not be called Gzela. So the Piskei Chershon, Rav Yoshai Blau, Zichlo Bracha, quotes this unagumptive that as a source for the right for a Malamed to take something away from a Talmud, based on this unagumptive. I saw an article published that said, you know, it's interesting because the Shulchan Aruch Rav says the Pasha's not like this Shulchan Aruch Rav and Hillel's Gnev and Gzela says if even a person takes a Manas Lahosha like Lahosha of the Rambam, it's still called a Gazan. So now how does he learn the Gemara? You have to work out how he learns the Gemara that which that is an interesting conversation which maybe we'll get to. Okay. There's a Gemara about Basra with Eov, that Eov would have this great idea, which he was being praised with, that he would take the property of Yesoimim, he would mashpich them, so they thought it's being stolen, they thought it's being lost, and then they get it back, being much more valuable than it was before, and they would eventually give him a bracha. So Birchus Oved, Alay Tovoy, the bracha of those which felt that they lost their item will now come upon me. And he said that as a shevach upon himself. So the question, of course, is why is this mutter? This is Goyz Lamanas Lahoshiv. I gave you a footnote on the Ksois over there, which he says one answer is, potentially one answer that the Riyad Ramah says is because there's a place in the world whether Ian was a Yisrael or not. According to the argument that he was not a Jewish, so then we could argue that the Isser of Gzela by a Goy doesn't apply to Almanas Lahoshiv. So the Pasuk of, there's no Pasuk of Lotin, there's no Pasuk of Lazigzel. The more it learns out, the Isser of Gzela by a Goy, by Lashon, by Adam Rishon, it says, you have permission to eat from the Eitzagan, etc. And the more makes a drush in the psukim over there that there's an issue, you can't take something into somebody else's. So, suggesting that maybe that doesn't apply if you're planning to return it. The Kavit Shurim, which is at the end of the packet, differentiates between Geneva and Gzeva. Loisig Darva was a possible by Geneva. So by Geneva, there's taka a difference between this new kiddush of Almanas Lahoshiv is Osir, but not by Gzela. Gzela is when you take it in a public fashion as opposed to Geneva. So now, why should that make a difference? So I marked off the Bach, the page after the Sefer Chassidim. So the Bach says this chilik. He says that the reason why the Rambam said the reason why it's also shalayar galasim mekach is to create the hagdora of the Isser. That's only by Geneva, not by Gzela, because by Geneva there's a chashash of being margalasim mekach. The fact that it's done stealthily, so I can do it once, I can do it again and again and again and again. The ability to overpower people and force them, etc., is much less common. So the fear that I'm going to go and take something on Manas Lahoshiv. It's not as significant of a chashash when it comes to Gzela. It's the Geneva. Therefore, Gzela Amanas Lahoshiv is not Osir. Geneva Amanas Lahoshiv is Osir. That's what
that screams to your butt.
What?
Didn't you have one?
No. He could be. He means the Raisa. He's saying that the Rambam essentially argues from the Kach is not coming to long and taking it to the Rabbanim. But he's saying that this is the Hagdora of the Isser. The target of the Isser is by Geneva, because by Geneva it's problematic, the person becomes a God through this. Whereas by Zela, the person doesn't become a God. So Mela, he's not going to do it again because of the fact he did it once. Amanas Lahoshiv. So the target not Asr. So the Rambam is saying that the Hagdora, the reason why he's saying Shlo Yargul is to give me not, because he wants a Tama Mitzvah, he wants to make Hagdora what exactly the Isser is. That's the Bach suggests.
Why does the Bach have to come out to more common? Isn't there more that you can't even grain of your own thing because the Gnave itself is a bad zap? The mice of being grain of it?
Yeah, but the Rambam doesn't say it. The Rambam says Shalyar Galatz.
Why can't it mean in the Mice Geneva? Not in the Lakichas Mama, because you're not keeping the Mama. There's two halakim of Mice Geneva. There's the fact that he's Nigna Vin, and the fact that he's keeping the Mama. If you're returning the Mama, you're not going to be Yargal Atzma to keep the Mama, because the whole plan here is to give more money. But you're being martyred yourself in the
Geneva. There's a deen in Akhradim, is the difference thing. What's the difference in Geneva and Zayla, besides how it happens? There is an argument that some of them say the Gzela Nikir Isser is the fact that they took the money. By Geneva, the fact is the mice was done stealthily, exactly what the Isser is. But the Pasha of the Bach doesn't feel like the Rambam saying that. Because otherwise, it's not Shul Yargal Atzma Pekach. Then Batsu, it's a problem.
Being a sneaky person. Like that's the...
Yeah, but that's not... Then it's Tama Mitzvah. Then we get involved in Tama Mitzvah. The way he's learning, it's not a point of Tama Mitzvah. The point is, this is the Hagdor of the Isser. The Hagdor, what you're saying, the Hagdor of the Isser is the being stealth. Even one time being stealthy is a problem. I don't need to do multiple times to be problematic. Sneaking one time is problematic. So end the conversation. It doesn't apply to Gzela. He doesn't. The Rambam doesn't say it. The Rambam says sneaking one time is not the problem. The problem is sneaking many times is the problem. Why is that? Like that's what the Bach is grappling with. The Shach disagrees with this Bach. The Shach says that this chilik, he doesn't like this chilik. He wants to get the chilik between the cases. What work out the chilik between the cases? But he's going to Gemara, but the more And halacha lemaisa, there's some rishonim which learn if a person, like Zayla, takes a manas to give back something which clearly the person would be happy with. It's zachal l'mashol b'fanov, so that's not aser, especially if it's ready to give immediately. So he's cut immediately, so it's not a problem of gzeila. So what happened to this gemara? So that the shach says the chilik is the fact that it's ready in mazuman immediately. So it never really took it. As soon as I take it, I'll give me something else instead, which is more valuable. So that's why that's the chilik the shach says. So it's a whole different ballgame. But then after me, to our Rebbe over here, if the Rebbe goes and the kid's not looking and he stealthily goes and takes it out of the kid's backpack, you know, that's the neighbor. The way the Bach is learning, the way the Kevin Shirma is learning, that if I take it bepumbi, I take it publicly, I take it away from the kids, there's no issue as long as someone asks the hasha. So it'll make a big nafkamina. If I'm doing it to check the kid out, checking out his stuff, the stuff in his kid's room, you know. Let's see what he has there, right? The Sefer Chassidim has this fascinating shakalatari back and forth, but it's basically a scenario where the father was very not careful with his property, and the things were being stolen from him regularly. The son, who was a little more aware of what's going on, pointed out to the father did not believe him. And meanwhile, the son was concerned that the father's all of his property will be depleted by the time that he needs everything. He's going to end up with nothing. So the son went and stole everything and took it into his rishos. So now it's safe, with intent of giving it back to the father as needed. So giving everything back to the father, back to square one. So he'll give the father as needed, so the father will end up having the resources he needs to live. But he stole Amanas the Hoshev. And at first he says you got to give it back, but once the Chacham recognized that the most beneficial way for the father that the story should play out is that the child should actually have it, even though that he said you're not mechuyev to return it, which means l'chara he was no longer considering an act of gzeila or geneva that what he did, because otherwise there's a chiyuv deraisa of a hashava. It's very nice cheshbonis, but the ma'aseh have a din of hashava, right? So Pashas, he's arguing in that scenario, it's not that what the son did was not an act of Geneva, not an act of Hezek, it was an act of Atzola, which is that other argument which we talked about a little bit, but he introduces such a concept. There are scenarios where what I'm doing for you is actually, I'm taking your money for your benefit, and that's not problematic. I put in the Piskei Chershon, he talks about this in the context of taking the person's property, the person is a total miser, very stingy, he refuses to take care of his needs. So we have a right to take from his property to buy food for him to feed him. We have a right to take from his property to be part of him from the. You know, listen. You know, being an avid is one thing, but money is another. You know, the famous Jack. You know, the money of your life. You know, I'm thinking, right? You know, so that's very nice, but the mice, that's ridiculous. So the maskana of the sugya. The argument of because of Manas L'Hoshev is a very weak argument. I mean, even though there are, maybe Gzel is better than Geneva, it's a good argument to say that, but the Shach does not accept that argument. And maybe the Shittim Mitzvah says that the fact is, it's going to be, if you're Manas L'Hoshev, it's not the more answering, but the Raman and the Shulchan Aruch passes, it's not like that. So clear in the Raman, clear in the Shulchan Aruch, Gzel Manas L'Hoshev is, going on Manas L'Hoshev is Osir, and Gneva, Gzela being different, not very clear that that's true. The Shach does not accept the argument of the Bach. In general, we pass like the Shach over the Bach. So Rabbi Chanan saying as a Pshat Gemara, you know, in Shir, doesn't necessarily mean Halacha L'Maisa. He would be passing in Halacha L'Maisa. Rav Moshe Zatzal one time said anything that he said in Dibros is Halacha L'Maisa. It's a mind-boggling statement. I don't know what the ones they're putting out now, that you know, but he says whatever he gave over in Shir, the laws of Shirma he actually gave, right? Whatever he gave over in Shir, he says you can rely on Halacha L'Maaseh. That's how clear he was. It wasn't a Shikul Torah, it was Emes. Sorry, he wouldn't say otherwise, he wouldn't say it. So it's Emes, it's true. All right, okay, but I don't know, you know, whether the average Magid Shir is saying, you know, good Hezbollah, etc., whether he holds that that's, you know, he's going to defend that to the nth degree, that's Emes. Yesh Laden. So the argument of Amanas L'Hoshev is weak. The argument of this this argument of the Sefer Chassidim is a different argument. It's a step weiter. It's not just I'm an Asla Hoshin, it's I'm doing it as a Hatzol, not as a Hezek, but as a Hatzol. I'm doing it to save you. So if I'm taking your money to give you more money, that's very nice, but that's not mutter. I'm taking your money to save your money. So the whole issue is I'm causing you a loss of money. I'm not causing you a loss of money. I'm actually saving that money. So Eyyub's case, I'm taking away the money to give you more money. Okay, that's debatable. Well, that's going to be mutter or not. But I'm taking away the money that this money should be saved and not be lost. So I'm not destroying it. I'm not being mazik it. I'm actually saving it. So that's what the argument of the Sefer Chassidim is. That's a whole new madrega of Heter. So now, can you then extrapolate that to the Sigur of the Talmud? Look, or not. Because in the Sigur of the Talmud, I'm not saving them, taking the money to save the money. I'm taking the money to give them another benefit. That's very nice. But over here, in other words, the issue of Gezela is the fact that I am in some way being mazik your money. Very nice. I'm not being mazik your money. I'm being matzel your money.
Right. What about by the Oshin Kamsu?
What?
What about by the Oshin Kamsu of Tzivit Chesim? They weren't saving his money.
Right. I understand. But that's another argument. Can we, you know, can I destroy your television because this way I'm saving you from the Hisak of the Yisuris? Right? So I'm not saving your money. Right, but I'm doing an act with a Hatzolah for different arguments. Right, so that gets to that very murky, very difficult area. How much am I allowed to be do Isser because I'm ending up with Heter or benefit? You know, that's the key of Rechaykim Sugya. Right. That was a lot of people to drive the shul. They said they'll stay Jewish. So that wasn't necessarily a Heter, but that. Right? If what I'm trying to do is, but over here, the case of the Sefer Chassidim, I'm saying is not that sugya. That's why I didn't put it into the next group of the Hazim Moment, the Tovus HaNizik, or Kiddush Hashem, which is the second group. I put it into the first group. It's like a new madrig of Amanas Lahashiv. It's like the best scenario of Amanas Lahashiv. It's normal scenario, your money is safe. I'm taking it back and giving it back to you. So my argument, I'm doing it to teach you a lesson. I'm doing it to save this money. So there, so that's mutter. Now, even that, Lakara, the thing that Shilta is saying is also, because that's what Shilta's case was, I'm afraid you're going to be losing your money because you don't take care of it properly. I'm going to teach you a lesson, therefore you will not lose your money. And he held even that was also. Right? Because the mice right now, it's an act of taking, and that's not mutter. Right? So that, I don't think you have any other rag is one way or the other, but that wouldn't be relevant for our sugya, lachara. The din of taking your money to be part of you, taking your money to feed you. So those are I'm taking your money, but since the final result is better for you, it's worth it. That's a sugya which is that would be relevant to this discussion. I'm taking your money to mail this way. You'll learn more, hopefully, right? So that would be relevant over here. So this sugya of Amanas Lahashiv, I don't think is a good argument to be matched. Oh, I'm giving it back. It's okay. That's let's stay away from that line because that's not necessarily a good line, right? Even if a person did do that, I think the Ksois does weigh in the Halach Lamaisa. I'm not Chayiv Anointzin because even though it's Osir, but it's not Chayiv. But in regards to the Heter to take it, you have to come on to the other Svaras in the Mount through it, the Svara Laisiyah Kisosim, etc., which is probably your best Svara of all. Is there's an arrangement and that's the expectation that's going to be Mutter, or the argument that the Rebbe can be Maka, so Kabbal Chermer he can take as well. Okay.